Rise and shine, people. It is the best time of year. It is a football Friday here on the Daily Tip. Like, if you can't be in a good mood this week, something is wrong with you, because we have a full, wonderful slate in college football. We've got a little baseball to sprinkle in there. It's all coming up next on the show. We'll start with the biggest games of the weekend, including Texas, Ohio State, and I think I know where Jenx is leaning in that game. At 7:20, we go on to our daily baseball bets if you want some MLB action on the card as well. And then if you like parlays, this segment is for you. At 7:40, we've got David's parlay that's 770-1. We've got our squad parlay, because Jenx, I know that we talk down on parlays during the regular season of baseball, but when it comes to football, I'm ready to have some fun. Like, I'm going to make so many parlays this weekend that have, like, no logical reasoning. Like, of course, when we do our squad parlay, I'm going to give my best effort. But 'tis the season, baby. I'm going to have so many bets this weekend.
Oh, man. Official bets or personal bets? No. Well, that's why I'm asking.
My personal dart throws.
Why not just put them on a card? I mean, you do the research. You're a good bettor. Mm. Put them out there. Let the people eat, Chelsea. Let them see what's on your card.
Maybe I'll, like, put them out in some capacity. But, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the fun parlays where you literally just go down the list and, like, pick games.
Yeah.
Like, I've done research on almost all of the games. Well, not almost all. There's, like, what, 70 games, something like that.
Yeah.
But I want to do something fun, because I know that we talk about, like, making the educated decision. And, like, if there's one factor not going in your direction, don't bet on it. And if we're giving advice, I'm not going to give you a game that I don't believe in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the reason that we got into betting is because it's fun. And especially the first week of the season, like, that's when the real fun is to be had. Like, this is the moment that we were dreaming of. Like, what, you know, that Monday in January after the season ended and depression just immediately started. It's been a long off season. We deserve this.
We do deserve this. I mean, like I said, I was up until 10:30 last night watching the end of Akron and Wyoming. And let me tell you something. That was a garbage football game. And yet, part of me appreciated the fact, I'm like, isn't this great? You know what's keeping me up? Maction. On a Thursday night, a 3-0 game in Akron. And now we get the big games this weekend. I mean, this really is an awesome time of year. And I'm so glad that instead of saying, hey, it's almost here. It's like, no, it's here. Like, we're in it.
Yeah, we also get the return of, like, the four box of games that you actually want to watch. Because Jenx actually had games that could fill the entire four box on YouTube TV. Because over, you know, the offseason, it's been like, YouTube TV suggests, hey, how about IndyCar racing and baseball? It's like, no, get that ish out of here. I don't want that. But I will say, good news on the YouTube TV front, just in time for the big noon kickoff, YouTube TV and Fox have reached a deal. Jenx, were you nervous about this? Because obviously your Longhorns have a pretty big game this weekend.
Here's the thing. Normally, I would be nervous because, well, first I was going to go to Columbus. And then, of course, that fell through. We talked about that. And then I thought, maybe I'll just watch it at home. Like, I've got some barbecue at home. We'll do that. And now, and that's when I really got nervous. Like, I have YouTube TV. What's gonna go on here? Like, I got to see this game. But now we're going to go out. We're going to go to the Texas Watch Party here in D.C. And I think they have, I think it's DirecTV, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. We're good. Like, we're good no matter what. But I can see why so many people would be worried about it. Then again, they usually solve these things, like, just in time. And absolutely, Fox had the leverage here. I don't know what the terms are. I'm just glad they worked it out.
Yeah, I don't care about the terms. It's time for football, Jenx. It's time for football picks. So let's get to some of the biggest games on the card this weekend. And let's start with the granddaddy of them all. Number one, Texas at number three, Ohio State. This line has been kind of moving a little bit over the course of the past week, but now it's landed on Ohio State, 1.5 favorites at home, total of 47.5. Jenx, I know you've been waiting all offseason to bet on a Texas game. You are somebody who's been reading message boards since February.
Yes.
So let us have it. What's the handicap here?
I think Texas is going to win this game outright. And I think that people are sick of the Arch hype. I certainly understand that. But the thing about Arch Manning is that he has more experience than Julian Sand. That's one thing that I feel like is not talked about enough. Like, Arch has actually been in some big-time games, not necessarily as a starter, but he has more experience than Julian Sand. And now he's going to go up against a defense which I believe is going to be tops in the country. The Texas defense was unbelievable last year. I think they're going to be even better this year. Both sides have their warts, particularly on the offensive line. But when I look at Ohio State and you see both coordinators being replaced, and you look at what Sark has done on the road, Steve Sarkisian has won 11 straight road games at Texas, true road games. So he knows how to get his team ready for playing in big spots. And I just think Texas is the more talented team here. And even, what, a week and a half ago, Ryan Day still hadn't figured out what his offensive line was going to look like. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Obviously, turnovers are going to matter in a big way. But I think ultimately Texas pulls away in the end. I just think they're a better team.
I think Arch Manning matters less in this game than people will expect.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. I think the team around Arch is better than the team that Ohio State has. And I think it starts with the defense. Like you mentioned, Texas defense, we saw it last year, and it's still one of the best bunches in all of college football. And also, you look at the other skill positions around him, and I understand it's not going to be the receiver core that Ohio State has, but like still, Texas gets blue chip prospect after blue chip prospect. They've got great running back room as well. So I think it's going to be more of like, when we watch Patrick Mahomes with like the Chiefs team that won a Super Bowl, he wasn't putting up gaudy stats, but the team overall was just so solid. And when you have a great defense that can get the other team off the field, like it helps the offense as well. So I think it's less about Arch Manning. I don't think it's going to be one of those games where he just explodes. Like, I don't think we're going to see a huge stat line from him. And I do think Steve Sarkisian will take that in mind when he is making the game plan.
Yeah.
Maybe we will. But I don't think it's going to be the Arch show. I think it's going to be the Texas show.
Yeah, I think that both sides will be conservative early on, right? Like, you don't need Arch to win the game for you, just like you don't need Julian Sand to win the game for you. I think both sides are going to say, let's try to control field position here. We'll lean on our defenses. I like the under in this game as well. I think it's going to be lower scoring. I think it's going to be a rock fight despite all the star power. I mean, there's always a possibility that Jeremiah Smith could get loose, that Ryan Wingo for Texas, who I think is going to have a monster year. Like, don't forget that name. He is going to be featured. He is the wide receiver one in that offense. He's going to be awesome. But I think ultimately, in the end, someone is going to make a big mistake, and I think it's going to be Sand. He's going to be under pressure all day from that Texas defensive line and Colin Simmons, who is just the best in the country at defensive end. So I think that's how it's going to play out.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything that makes you nervous about Texas? Because, like, just to, you know, entertain the other side just a little bit, because I will say, like, you're a Texas fan, but last year, I feel like you gave a great side of the coin saying, okay, Quinn Ewers has done a lot for this program, but, like, there are certain situations where I don't trust him implicitly.
Yeah.
So, like, from a objective standpoint,
sure.
Is there anything that makes you nervous about this game as a Texas fan?
Sure. Number one, it's in Columbus. It's never easy playing in the Shoe. Mm-hmm. Ohio State fans are awful, by the way. Like, across, they take pride in making your experience terrible. Like, they, to a person, I've heard the worst experience ever is in Columbus. Like, they curse at you, they yell at you, they're awful to you. They take pride in making it unwelcoming. So that's not going to be easy. Number two, look, Arch is inexperienced. I think he's going to be unbelievable. But it might not be in this game. And also, there are issues on the Texas offensive line. They had a huge injury a couple weeks ago. One of their starters is out for the season. They have another starter who has a broken finger. He had surgery on that finger. It's going to be taped up, Trevor Goosby, but he's probably going to play. And then the rest of the offensive line is still gelling because they lost some big names, particularly Kelvin Banks, to the NFL draft. So you're talking about a line who is protecting Arch going up against a very good Ohio State defense. All it takes is one sack, one turnover, one pick, and this game could change like that. So there's absolutely no question a path for Ohio State to win it.
Yeah, I think when these teams are so evenly matched that a lot of it will come down to like a few key plays. Like, I remember in the K-State and Iowa State game, it's just like, who is going to convert on those big third downs? And sometimes it's tough to predict, but I will have some fun watching it. Even though I will feel nervous for you, Jenks, I'll be rooting for Texas in your honor. All right, so the other big game of the weekend, of course, number 9 LSU at number 4 Clemson. The Battle of the Tigers has the home team as favorites, Clemson minus 4, a total of 57.5. So we've seen the numbers on Brian Kelly. He has not been good in these season openers. He has lost all 3 since coming to LSU. We know Dabo Swinney has won 2 national championships, but since then his numbers against top 10 teams haven't been quite as good as that dominating stretch that he had when he was like 19-3 against top 10 teams. But still, I do like Clemson in this one. And Jenks, I'm going to give you a chance to talk me off of this, but it feels like if I am going to trust a team, I'm going to trust the home team. I'm going to trust the team that returns more starters. Clemson returns 16 starters from last year's squad. They've got one of the Heisman favorites in Cade Klubnik, who is also a returning starter. And it feels to me like they have the better defense here, because that was the problem with LSU last year. This was one of the worst defenses in the SEC last season, giving up 24 points per game. And I understand they did a complete overhaul. They brought in a bunch of guys from the transfer portal. But I still have questions about LSU, and I still have questions about Brian Kelly. So I'm going to go with Clemson here.
Yeah, I like Clemson as well. And, man, LSU fans are going to lose their minds, because them losing in the season opener goes back beyond Brian Kelly. LSU has lost 5 straight season openers. Like, imagine if you're an LSU fan and every single season opener for 5 straight years has been an L. Like, that's brutal. And now you got to go to Death Valley. Like, Tigers, Death Valley, Death Valley. But LSU did a great job in the portal. They were the number 1 ranked team as far as getting talent out of the portal. But they're going into a place that, A, is going to be brutal to play. I believe this is a night game. So, my God, that's going to be tough for LSU. And also, this is a national championship squad. I mean, you mentioned Cade Klubnik. He could absolutely win the Heisman this season. I think he's probably the one who should be favored over Arch Manning. Arch is just getting all the public money. I think Arch is going to win it. I want Arch to win it. But certainly, Cade Klubnik last year, if you look at what he did, if he takes another step this year, he's going to be unstoppable. And Clemson will be able to dominate on the offensive and defensive line. You mentioned that experience. I just like Clemson here. I need to see it from LSU first.
Yeah, I do as well. So it's going to be all Clemson for me. Next up, let's go to Alabama and Florida State. So Alabama ranked 8th in the country. Florida State, of course, not ranked, because after last season finishing 2-10, they have some things to prove to a lot of people. But I do think the X factor in this game is Thomas Castellanos, quarterback for Florida State, who has been running his mouth about Alabama, which, bold move. I don't know if I agree with that, but he is a confident guy, and he is a dual threat. And I think especially now with their new offensive coordinator at Florida State and Gus Malzahn, these are the type of quarterbacks that he does especially well with. I don't know if you remember the name Nick Marshall. He was the quarterback at Auburn when Auburn went to the national championship, and that type of offense works really well with what Gus Malzahn runs. Now, ultimately, Nick Marshall and Auburn lost in the national championship to Jameis Winston, but still, this is the type of offense that is successful, and Gus Malzahn has beaten Alabama before when he was at Auburn. Obviously, it is a different roster, and it's Kalen DeBoer and not Nick Saban, but I think the way that you play this is you bank on Florida State to maybe score some points here. And I will say that weather is going to be a factor in this one. It's like a 50-50 chance of there being thunderstorms. So this has been dropping. It's 49.5. But I believe in Alabama's offense. Even though they have a new quarterback, they still have one of the best offensive lines in the country. And they have a kid named Ryan Williams, who is on the cover of like the new EA Sports College Sports 26 for a reason. The guy's an absolute stud at receiver, and he was only 17 last year. So I think the over's the way to go, but just keep an eye on the weather.
And also, this kid, Thomas Castellanos, the fact that he talks smack to Bama is the worst decision he has made thus far in his life, as far as I know. Like, listen to this quote. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I don't see them stopping me. And then the ACC. I feel like I tore the ACC up by my own damn self the last 2 years, and now I'm with a squad. You're saying that about Alabama going into Tuscaloosa? I got this Bama minus 13.5. Now it's 14. Moved a half point overnight. And Kalen DeBoer's team, always better in year two. Historically, you go back to his coaching resume or his coaching path, his teams always take the next step. I think it's a bad spot for Florida State, and Their quarterback should not have said a word. You don't think they've had that hanging on the wall in the locker room for the past month?
Even though I do think it's like part of his personality, it's similar to like Diego Pavia. But Diego Pavia has slayed the dragon, and he can run his mouth a little bit. Thomas Castellanos has not. All right, coming up next, time to bet on some baseball. Our daily baseball plays come your way next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.